this meeting to order. I am calling this meeting to order. Thank you. Can we have a roll call, please? Lynn?
Astrid Bergson. Susan Fowler. Tom Moore. Judy O'Connor. Elaine Palencia. Julian Rappaport. Ann Robin. Margaret White. And Deborah Townsend.
Before we go any farther, I'd like to introduce Margaret White, our newest member. Welcome.
Thank you.
Yeah. And we'll get you oriented very soon. Okay.
Thank you.
Peter and I will do that.
Yeah. Thank you.
Is there any citizen input, public participation right now? Dr. Petrie.
Good afternoon, everybody. I just got back from Springfield. I've been there for 2 days, so I just recently got the packet and have been reading it and wanted to share a couple of ideas in relationship to your upcoming search, especially since we, as you all know, are in the middle of a big search for a county administrator and look very hard how to make a good mix of entities on that search committee. And I'm hoping that that will be the same case for you all, that you will look at some interesting different entities from the community to be included in your the makeup of your search committee. I sit here at your meetings and I see the many different social service agencies within the community that you fund and you help. And so I hope that there will be a representative or two from those committees that you fund, because that's very important input. I hear oftentimes Alan Jones or somebody from the sheriff's office or any of the law enforcement within our community come in and talk about mental health and the jails. So I hope that there might be somebody from law enforcement within our county on your committee, along with members of both of the boards, which I understand is here in your MOU. Then I was a little surprised, I guess. It's in section 4 and number E, and it's the added last sentence in italics. And did you really mean to say that if you couldn't come to agreement on whoever gets through your search process, that you're going to terminate the intergovernmental agreement? Or did you mean to say that you would go back and amend the intergovernmental agreement? Maybe that's just a miss.
Patsy, I think the answer to that is that we will do our very best together to find a successor to Peter. Failing that, and I don't think we will fail, we have a good committee, then yes, that's what we agreed to, that we would then have to part ways.
So that we could initiate a new search.
Yeah.
Oh, well then.
Consider the search failed and start a new search.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay. It's good to hear that on the record, because the way I read it, I thought you were dissolving yourselves.
No, but that's what we would do.
Okay.
That's what we discussed at the DD board.
That's a relief. Thank you for that clarification. I'm glad I brought it up for the record anyway. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, Patsy. Tom?
All right, Madam Chairman, if you have, it seems to me that if you need to clarify these things, you might want to meet with the executive committee and talk to them about this
Chief
stuff. You might want to meet with the search committee itself to bring up some of these issues that you have found in reading the package.
Thank you, Tom. Any other citizen input or public participation? Something? Okay. All right. Are there any additions to the agenda? Seeing none, we'll move right along. DD board information.
Bill, do you want to?
Just two things quickly. Number one, I think that we have a handout related to the Scylla project, and I hope Peter will give you a quick update. And I did want to allude to one thing based on what Dr. Peter just raised, which is that certainly there will be two sets of processes, which I'm sure Sue and Deb will talk about when we get to that. But there will be a search committee, which I believe will be relatively small. And then there will be quite a significant opportunity for many of the kinds of folks that you mentioned to actually participate in the interview processes themselves, because obviously the committee is going to need that kind of input. So there'll be a couple of stages that will allow that kind of broader participation.
Thank you, Phil. Yeah. Sue and I plan to report at some length. Don't worry, it'll be interesting. You won't get bored. Can I have a motion to approve the minutes of our last meeting? Thank you.
Second.
Thank you. Any corrections or additions to those minutes? Yes, Julian. What page are you on?
I don't know. Right on the minutes there, where it says right on the front, it says staff excused. I think that's incorrect, right? Margaret White.
Oh, she's not staff. She's board member, yeah.
Board member.
Yes, thank you, Julian.
I think we might have.
So we'll change that to member excused.
Okay. Okay. I think we got a phone call today that Dale Morrissey was present at this meeting, so that we should list him as one of the people in the audience. Is that right?
Okay. All right. Yes, I remember seeing him. Any other corrections or additions? Seeing none, let's vote to approve these minutes or not. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, the same? These minutes are approved. Thank you. Now, I'd like to talk just a little bit right now about the search process and where we are in it. But I'll save most of it until new business, if that's okay with you. I want to tell you that the committee has been, I'm amazed at how much we've accomplished. We've had only 2 minutes. Two meetings. And we've accomplished quite a bit, and I'll explain all of that when we get to it. So I'm very optimistic that we'll have a very good outcome. That's my main comment, and I'll get back to it when the agenda really calls for it. Any questions about what? Just, you can't have. I didn't give you much information, did I? Sorry. Peter, have you any?
Yes. It wasn't in your packet, but you all should have in front of you a copy of a what is called a briefing memorandum on the Scylla project. Okay. Just for our new board members, this relates to developmental disabilities, and as you all know, this board has a responsibility for all three disability areas, including developmental disabilities, and that's why we have integrated planning with the Developmental Disabilities Board. The Scylla project is a joint project between these two boards. Scylla stands for community integrated living arrangement, which is essentially a house where people with developmental disabilities live and receive services based on their individual needs and person-centered plans. I'm going to give a little bit more background. This is all in the memo here, but because some of you are new, you might not know this. We had a number of people that came to these meetings of these boards and have mentioned that they had problems with family members that were placed in CILAs that were far away from Champaign County or were unable to get a CILA placement. So both of the boards decided to do an RFP, and we selected a vendor, and part of the deal was that we would buy the houses, and we had pretty good financing from PNC Bank. They have a community development piece. In fact, we had asked for $800,000, and they approved us for $1.6 million. So they want to give us money. The properties, we have at this point bought two houses at this time. One of them is fully operational. That's CILA number one. It was purchased for $175,000 and required $28,000 worth of renovation to get up to speed and be licensed. The second CILA is currently underway. That cost $215,000 and has required $82,000 worth of renovations. That's primarily because the people that are going to be in this house are non-ambulatory and are in wheelchairs, and it really required a lot of, as any house would, to be appropriate for them. It needed some renovation. We have not moved forward on a third house yet. The second house is going to be up and running any time now. Go back to on page two, there's a piece that talks about project implementation. I think as everyone knows, the state budget and what's happened in state government and with disability services in Illinois has been somewhat of a perfect storm, and that has delayed our progress. A number of things related to the Division of Developmental Disabilities. They were slow in completing rate setting for people that were going into the homes. The licensing of the homes took more time than we had hoped. The improvements and the renovations on the homes also took more time, especially the second home. There's been a number of things related to that the providers has faced, that every provider has faced in our community, and that that has to do with the uncertainty of what's happening with the budget, the salaries that are available to pay direct care staff. All of those things kind of played into it. So it's not gone as fast as what we would have hoped, but it is moving. We anticipate we're in touch with the provider, which is IAG, on a regular basis. We talk to them almost every week about how things are progressing. So at this point, we're down to the house is ready. They are trying to get the awards negotiated for the people that are going to be living in the houses, and we anticipate that that's going to happen pretty much any time at this point.
Astrid has a
question. How many people in each house?
I think that there will be four in each house at this point, four or less. I think that the agency has told us that that to be viable, they have to have three people at this point. So four people makes it much more viable. I mean, this has been a kind of a struggle because typically CILAs prior to some of the rule changes related to the Ligas consent decree could be up to eight people, so this is a much smaller community integrated setting. So anyway, that's the report, and we will keep you updated on what's going on with this on a monthly basis. Dr. Krein suggested that we have all ongoing projects included as old business for the DD board, and that's a good idea for the mental health board, too. So, If anybody has any questions, we'll be happy to answer those.
Thank you, Peter. I meant to mention earlier that I want you to be sure that you all know that Ann Robin is not with us today. Her father died over the weekend, I think. The obituary is in this morning's paper. He was very old, and she's okay. I saw her last night. Staff reports. Mr. Driscoll, pages 11 and 12. Any questions for, you want to highlight anything?
No, I was just going to take questions if there
How
were any.
How about questions for Mark? No, you always write clearly and it, no, whoa, Julian.
Do we in fact have a list of applicants?
Yes. Yeah. Yes, we do. And we'll talk about that in a little bit.
So. Okay. Anything?
There were a lot of them.
There were small wonder, yeah. Any other questions for Mark at this time? Okay. Lynn, how about your report?
I also, there's a mysterious handout among your handouts, and it's this one
that has the pretty one.
It's several handouts paperclip together. These are actually from Dale Morrissey. He presented them this morning. I think they're self-explanatory. You've seen the first one before, mm-hmm. because this is the, you know, where several trade associations are supporting one thing, and that's to increase the floor for direct support professionals to $15 an hour. So they've got a hashtag now, too, which is Fight for 15. Right. There's also information about a newly introduced bill. The House bill was introduced last week, and a Senate bill is expected this week. The deadline is Friday, so I don't know the number yet, but the House bill is 5931. The State Association has committed to looking at this and discussing it next week, along with the Senate bill, in case this is something that we are all comfortable to support. Because the idea, yes, the DSP wage increase is wonderful, but we need to see if there's anything else in the bill before jumping in. So that's sort of related to my staff report because that's the legislative committee meeting next week of the State Association. But next week, I'm also going to be in D.C., and we're going to go to Capitol Hill. And we have appointments to talk with legislators about criminal justice, mental health, you know, a variety of county-based initiatives in that area, including decarceration. There's some people ready to talk to us about that. We don't know who we're going to be able to talk to about DD services, but there are two of us from the National Association are committed to doing that. So we've got a few handouts that we're taking that are very straightforward. One really nice piece of legislation for people with disabilities at a federal level is Chuck Schumer's Disability Integration Act. It was introduced late last year. I don't know where it's at. I think it was in committee, right? Everything's in committee. And I read it, and it's great. It gives some more specific powers to Health and Human Services and to Department of Justice regarding what they can expect from the states in the delivery of services to people with disabilities. So it's nice.
Thank you, Lynn. And I want to say I appreciate the way you are keeping us up to date on some legislation through emails. That's a very helpful thing to do. Any questions for Lynn? Chandra, anything you'd like to highlight in your report?
I'll take any questions. There was, I just wanted to make sure that I clarified a statement in my report under local updates. I met with a CCMHB board member just about my clarity, about my role, about role clarification. And the board member recommended that I see about offer training to members of the Champaign County Board. It was not a Champaign County board member that asked about CLC training. It was a board member from the Mental Health Board that suggested that I contact them about that.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And I also wanted to announce that I'm working with the anti-stigma activities with Ebert Festival, and we are doing a project with Don Francisco. where we are going to be filming individuals it'll be about a 1 minute clip and interviewing them about what is needed to go see a movie. And it's promoting inclusion and diversity as well as equity and looking at what are the different needs from different persons and what they need to see a movie, because some people need different things to watch a movie.
Great. Thanks. Any questions for Chandra? Julian.
Is this infusing equity into the urban planning process from you?
Yes.
It was very interesting.
Thank you.
I think you ought to circulate it widely.
I have, and I'll continue to circulate it. It's a really, just listening to the conversation over the last couple of months about the new funding that came to our community, and as we saw, there was a lack of a certain population that could have been present at the table. And so I think the next day I found this article and I said, this is really good information. And also this organization actually trains individuals and facilitators on how to actually do this process.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yes, Astrid.
I keep thinking that we've done Ebert Festival long enough. I think we're preaching to the choir and that it's time maybe to get out to other people.
Thank you, Astrid. Let's see, how do we go about this, talking about it? What she's suggesting, getting out of Ebert Fest.
You need business?
I guess new business. Sure. Okay. Thank you. No consultants, that's good. Are there any board-to-board reports? Did anybody go visit this time? I guess not. All right, we'll move ahead then. Agency information. Here's where I call on people who are visiting here. And there's Nancy Greenwald, and be glad to hear from you.
Good evening. I didn't make quite enough of the full packet. So hopefully people can share. There's enough of the bottom sheet. We just completed our UDS reporting. It's a unified data systems that all community health centers are required to complete. It was due February 15th. And from that, I had some interesting stats that I wanted to share. But I guess first I want to introduce myself to because a couple of faces are new. My name is Nancy Greenwald. I'm the executive director of Promise Healthcare. Our mission is that we're dedicated to improving the health of the community through treatment, prevention, and education. We deliver primary medical, behavioral health, and dental care to the underserved through Francis Nelson, the Smile Healthy Dental Programs, and our satellite clinics at Presence Covenant Medical Center in Urbana and at Community Elements. So the stats, I was real excited to hear. We broke the 10,000 patient mark in 2015. So we served 10,000 patients. We actually had some old accounts in 2015 that we closed to get, so it's like evenly 10,000, with nearly 35,000 patient visits. 75% of our patients lived at the poverty level or below, and 4% of our patients lived above 200% of the federal poverty level. You don't have to be poor to come to Promise Healthcare or Francis Nelson, but in 2015, only 4% were living at 200% of the federal poverty level or below. And we are required to see patients regardless of ability to pay. We've added providers, so I want to make sure people understand that we are open to new patients. We have a new patient packet is on our website. It's available in English and Spanish. And because of our new collaboration with Community Elements, we have a lot of new patients right now. And so I'm very proud of sort of our technological advancement, that the new patient packet is a fillable PDF form, so you can just be typing away. You don't have to print it out and write. And hopefully by this time next week, we'll also have secure email so that people can securely email the new patient packets to us. We're trying to make it easier and faster for people to establish care with us. The packet is a fillable form and available on the website in English and Spanish. Additionally, we're very rich to have care available in French and Mandarin. We have staff who can provide in-person interpretation, and they have translated our new patient packet and other materials, most frequently used materials, in French, Mandarin, and actually, we don't have our new patient packet, but we have our prenatal materials also available in Russian. Want to make sure people understand, we're open to new patients. We can set them up today. If you fill out that packet and you get it to us, if you're able to hand us a complete packet, we can get you care with a primary care provider today. And we accept commercial insurance, most plans, where I think the only medical provider in town, or one of just a couple, who accept Molina. So if you hear people, they have a Molina Medicaid, and there's nowhere they can go, they can come see us, and we can take care of them for medical, mental health, dental, just about everything. So if you find, because it still is out there that if you have Molina, there's nowhere to go. We can take care of your primary care, and we will work to get you a referring. If you need specialty care outside of our health center, we can do that. I did want to thank Chandra. She did our all-staff meeting back in October, and we talked about it at the agency council meeting, that she and I agreed to sort of push it, to push, instead of being more academic, to push cultural and linguistic competency training to where we're a little uncomfortable, and we tried new things. I pleaded with her, don't break us. So she did a beautiful job. People are still talking about the training we did for staff, and I'm very excited that she'll be at our board meeting on Tuesday. So I'm looking forward to seeing what that will be. So thank you for making her a resource, letting her be a resource to agencies like ours. And the last thing I wanted to say was, in your packet is, we have these lunches once a month, and we've had a couple of mental health board members and staff come to our lunches. The one tomorrow Thursday is full, and April is full, but the March one has openings if you'd like to join us for lunch and talk more about the health center. There's a 20-minute PowerPoint presentation, times for question and answer, and then a tour of the health center. And I gave somebody a tour yesterday, and she said, if anyone's been on my tour, I always say, anyone who's done the tour says, I had no idea. And she said it. I took her on a tour of the health center, and she said, I had no idea you were this big, that you were this sophisticated, that it looked like this. So I encourage you to come and spend lunch with us. If you're not available for that March date, just email Megan, who's on the flyer, and she'll get you set up for the next one that is available. Oh, and the last thing I forgot is the flyer with Community Elements. We are working to, as we grow and we increase our collaborations with them, it's been a very challenging but rewarding process to integrate the psychiatrists with Promise Healthcare, and then to educate staff on both sides about how to get patients established. And so we are open to new patients. We're accepting new patients for psychiatry. The priority goes to patients who are established with Community Elements for services, and patients who are established with Promise Healthcare for generally primary medical care. And so my providers wanted to, this is, so that form you have, it's really a tool. You don't need the form to get into Access with Community Elements, but it helps guide our patients into Access. We want to make sure patients who might be seeking an appointment with a psychiatrist, that as many of them as possible are supported with additional services like counseling or case management. And so Promise can provide that at Francis Nelson for some, many, this is the sheet we use to sort of get patients into Community Elements for those services.
Nancy, thank you very much. I hope you all know that our own Dr. Robin sees patients at Francis Nelson. Pro bono, I believe.
Health Center.
I'm sorry?
She's at the Christian Health Center. She's not, I believe she's at the Christian Health Center. She's not.
I thought she was still with you.
Nope. Well, no, we have 12 primary care providers, 3 psychiatrists,
she didn't
9
tell
nurses.
Me.
So,
okay, yes.
Can I ask a question? I realize I should know this, but since you're here, it's an opportune moment for me to clarify my own knowledge about it. when someone shows up, I think you said you take anybody, regardless of their ability to pay.
Right.
So if they're not on Medicaid and they have no insurance, what happens? What do you do?
We have part of the new patient packet includes a sliding fee scale application form. And so that's where the patient tells us, you know, where they live, what income they have. If they have no income, we have a different, somebody's homeless, we have a different form we can pull out. But basically, we need to figure out what their income is. And we look for proof or verification of that income. Not all patients can provide it, but you'd be surprised how many do. And then we would slide, based on their income level, the charges. For a medical visit, that would be a $10 charge, and that would include the physician, the nurse, the labs, any medications dispensed that day. So what we'll do is we'll slide it. But we'll also know their income, so we will try to get somebody to get them enrolled. And since 75% of them are living at the poverty level or below, all of those people are eligible for Medicaid. Well, all that are here are documented and here as citizens or are documented, they're eligible for Medicaid, so we work to get them enrolled in Medicaid. You don't have to be a citizen. You don't have to be documented to get care at the health center. And for those who can't afford even the $10, they can apply for a waiver for a year. And we usually, that's what like Adult Wellness will do, which is a mental health board funded project, is they'll work with the homeless patients or the patients who have no income, and they might get them to go to IDES, Employment Security, to show that they're not getting any unemployment benefits, or go to the IRS to show that they didn't file a tax return last year. And so with that, then we can waive any charges for a whole year for all our programs.
Thank you.
And then we had 27% in the last quarter, October, November, December, 27% of our patients had no coverage. So even with the Affordable Care Act, we're trying to get them. We should be at 20% when we're doing our job and we have everybody like maximal fully enrolled. We should only be at 20%. So we have a lot of work to do to try to get those people who lost their Medicaid determination in the fall to get them re-enrolled.
Nancy, thank you very much. Boy, very helpful. Are we ready to? Oh, sorry, Sheila.
That's okay.
Please.
I won't be long. I just wanted to make sure that I came before you today just to again mention and certainly answer any questions about the process that Community Elements is going through with the merger and intent to merge that is scheduled to be completed for July 1st with Rosecrans. And so I know that a lot of us put that aside. We made the announcement just before Christmas. But for us at Community Elements, it's been a process of due diligence, and it's very much underway. And there is not really any reason to expect that that won't occur. And so in our applications this year, I mentioned, too, that come July 1st, we will probably be a new company. And so I just wanted to make sure that I came before and answered any questions I could to this point. The name hasn't been determined yet or announced yet, but clearly Rosecrans has a very significant brand for substance abuse in the community and across the state. They have services also in Iowa and Wisconsin. I believe you'll see a name change.
Okay. Susan.
Could you just briefly tell us how it will impact expansion or reduction of services from what's currently Community Elements?
Well, I listened to the budget today, too, and part of that is going to be dependent on how the funding rolls into FY17. But you can expect that Community Elements will roll out a number of new services on the adult and adolescent side for substance abuse, probably likely with outpatient and IOP first. The goal really for our board and in terms of the strategic plan was really to become and be part of a behavioral health system that's large enough. I should also mention that if you're hearing about certified community behavioral health centers, and that's kind of the status that sort of FQHCs have in terms of the funding, is that Rosecrans intends on applying to be a CCBHC, so by extension, we'll be part of that process, which will allow us to have the possibility of, again, looking at medical services and expanding them. Clearly, you know, we're very excited and very happy about our work with Promise. You know, we had 1,200 patients that really needed services. And so this partnership is great, but even when we had the same amount of psychiatrists, we had a wait list. So we expect to be back looking for additional resources soon, and in particular on the child and adolescent psychiatry side. So remember, Promise has adult psychiatry, but the community as a whole, we need access. So capacity issues are still around, but this merger is more about building out substance abuse services and partnering to make it a more stable environment for us.
Thank you, Sheila. Are there any other questions?
Yes.
Well, Astrid, I'm sorry. Yes.
What would be the relation between your new name and Prairie Center?
Well, I've answered the question this way, and this is how I feel as well. Until we are able to meet all the needs of the community, Prairie Center will operate and Community Elements will operate, and the new merger will operate to try and meet the needs. The needs are great for substance abuse, especially in the adolescent population right now. So I think we have quite a road to go before we've seen a saturation of services availability for people who are in need. Thank you.
Other questions? Thank you, Sheila. Moving forward, always moving forward.
Trying to,
that's great. Dale Morrissey, yes.
Yes, I will be brief. I just wanted to come. That's okay, no, it's great. I'm glad that you handed out the information I passed out this morning. Just wanted to add a couple points. It's been over 2 years I've been coming to the Developmental Disability Board and talking about the staff shortage issue, and I think the thing I hope you didn't miss, the wage is very, very important. We all know how underpaid our DSPs are, and so we're fighting for that. And there's many DSPs in the state that are being paid $8.50 an hour. The average is $9.65. Like I said, at DSC alone, we're about $11.20. So, but we're still a long ways from what we need to be. The real crisis here, of course, is that, and we need to pay people a living wage. But the thing that's driven this forward is the staff shortage. Sheila and I both sit on the IR Board of Directors, and just let you know that back in October, this was boiling so much around the state, and from that meeting became the merger of these five organizations working together to say this is a crisis issue. I shared this morning just one example. There's an organization up in Joliet that's got 160 other 650 DSPs, 160 vacancies right now. To give you an idea, our organization for the last months and months on end, we're averaging between 450 to 550 overtime hours in our 9 group homes. That's just so we can make sure we're keeping it safely staffed. That's the reason we haven't opened our 4-person home that's licensed, ready to go, furniture in it at Mahomet. We're ready to go on that, but I can't safely staff that until I can keep our current one staffed. And so this is a statewide crisis greater than I've ever seen in over 35 years in anybody in this room. And so the fact that these five organizations that have great mission statements, but they always usually aren't in sync, that they're all in sync on the same issue is really telling a major story here. And because the court monitor found the state out of compliance with the Ligas consent decree, that does give us some teeth to possibly get something done here. Even though the state has no money, we know that, but they are out of compliance, and the agreement they signed says that they must be in compliance. So whether that's enough teeth to cause this to move forward, no one knows at this point in time, but they are meeting, and at a certain point in time, that court monitor will say, yes, they're either operating in good faith or it will go back to court. And so the reason I share that with you is we've talked before, now is the time to engage. We're going to be meeting with DSC staff starting next week to say, hey, all this stuff that's in here, this is the information, and now you can fight for yourself to talk about the needs that's there so we can get a better wage for the direct service providers, one. And two, when you can start looking at people that you can hire at $14, $15 an hour, that's how you address the staff shortage issue. That's a different level of people that are willing to enter this field or not just come into it with high ideals and say after a year or two, I just can't live on that wage. But if they're making $30,000 a year, maybe they'll stay for 3 or 4 more years longer. And so I guess the bottom line is DSE alone, we're much better than most organizations. We're only 22-23% average turnover in a year, where most organizations like ours are 50-60% on the DD. But what we're finding is that our openings are longer because the pool is not there at that lower wage. So I ask you to engage. That's what I've asked, we're asking the other boards. It's now is the time to engage, and there's every reason that we're working now politically to try to get the representatives and the senators to get back behind this legislation, and there's really all the information why they need that. So if you have any questions, it's all here, and but you're going to be hearing a lot about it. It's going to be an explosion, I believe, in the next few weeks in the community, in the news, not just in this news, but statewide. So thank you.
Thank you, Dale. Questions? Scary. Yep. Any other agency information? We've certainly learned a lot. The financial information, we're ready to move to that. Pages 21 through 26. I'd invite a motion to accept the claims report as presented. Thank you, Astrid. Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you, Julian. It's been moved and seconded. Is there any discussion or questions or concerns about this report? Seeing none, call for a vote. All in favor, please say aye. Any opposed, the same, or the say opposed, say no, or something. Nobody, anyway. Thank you. Oh, my. All right. We're ready to move on to new business. And I invite you to turn to page 27 in your booklet. Now, this just shows who you are and the agencies where we usually have liaisons. We're finding that this is sometimes pretty helpful because it's a way of understanding better what these agencies, anyway, are doing, their issues, their accomplishments, everything. And so I like to assign somebody to each one. I can't always do that because of time conflicts. That's what we ran into with you. Yeah, and I'm sorry I could never put it together again. So I would ask you to look at this chart. And can you email me and tell me what you want? Give me three choices, 1, 2, and 3, and I'll do my best to give you what you want. Any questions? This gives you a chance to give back to us information that you get. You usually are going to meet with the boards of these groups.
Julian has a question.
I have a question.
Yes, Julian.
So, I've been going regularly to the meetings of the law enforcement people.
Uh-huh.
And they meet with various social service agencies.
Uh-huh.
And I learn a lot from doing it. And I wondered if I could put this on this list.
Sure.
It's a regular meeting. It affects a lot of what we do, even though we're not directly giving them money for it's the Crisis Intervention Training Collaborative among the various law enforcement agencies and the people that they serve.
We'll do it now. What's it called now?
Crisis Intervention Training Collaborative, I guess. I don't know what.
Crisis CIT. Everybody write it down.
CIT Steering Committee.
Is that it?
Yeah. Crisis Intervention Training.
But you have it right. I think it's Crisis Intervention Team. Steering Committee. Is that right?
Sounds good to me. I just go.
We talked about it last month, and I think it was team. Okay.
Team steering committee.
They meet
every other month. It's a Wednesday morning at 9 o'clock every other month.
Their next meeting is March 2nd. Right. So a lot of people come from the various agencies as well. So it's an interesting opportunity to hear the law enforcement and sometimes the state's attorney's office and METCAD, and just it's very it's a kind of interesting hub of activity.
So I know you're going to tell me that that's what you'd like to be assigned to. I've already written it down.
I will do that one. So
great, that's great.
Maybe I'll do something else.
Maybe you'll do something else too. And I bet if you'd like to go to the meetings, you'd be welcome, even if you're not assigned. Yeah. So I don't think I need to say more about it, but I hope you will do this very quickly so that we can get your names to the agencies and they can contact you. And they'll get in touch with you and arrange for a meeting. And some helpful stuff is on the back of this chart. Guidelines. If you just read them over yourself, they're pretty straightforward and common sense. But they should help you develop a good relationship. I would really like to have all of these agencies covered if possible. It isn't always possible. So if you could do that in the next couple of days, wouldn't that be great? Like tomorrow, before you forget, or even tonight. That would be good. Well, hey, that's the stuff. But your name's not on it. If you'd please put your name on it. Yeah, good. All right. Thank you. She does this in our meetings, too, our search team meetings. She just is way ahead of all of us. And we're pretty sharp, most of us, at times. But she's there all the time. What? She's got it, too. Thank you, Margaret. Okay. All right. Well, hey, this is wonderful. You're putting down 1, 2, and 3. Good. Okay. Now, are we ready to move on? I think we might be. I'd like to move on to new business.
Funding request.
The
funding request?
Oh, yeah. Thank you. I'm just so eager to tell them what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Who's going to talk about that?
Mark, you want to go ahead?
Yeah, I can. You have a handout. It's 2 pages. Has list of all the applications that were received by both boards at a either the December meeting or the January meeting. It was asked that all IDDD applications go to the Developmental Disabilities Board, but would be considered by both boards. So every application that was received by either board is on this list. It's actually, I said there were a lot of them, and there are. It's about 55 to 60 applications. A little less than half of those are related to IDDD. And the rest, obviously, would be applications that came directly to the Mental Health Board. You have a little bit of information and comparative information from what was received and awarded last year and what was awarded last year compared to what was received this year. We have a significant amount of requests this year between across all disabilities, but to both boards, it's almost $7.5 million. Last year, we allocated about almost $6.5 million. So we have our work cut out for us as we do. We did get a number of new applications. In the FY16 funder column, you'll see who either MHB, DDB, or new for FY17. Obviously, That's the MHB and DDB is in reference to the current funder of that particular program, if it was awarded funds in 16. New applications, obviously, are new for FY17, and we did get a number of new proposals, and several from agencies with whom we have not had a relationship in the past or near recent past. So, questions?
Thank you. I just wondered, this very first one, the Cella expansion, is that for the two homes that are already up
yes.
and running, or number
yes.
three?
And let me clarify there, that is not an application that is received. That is a prior decision of both boards, and that is a commitment that's been made to the Cellas that Peter spoke to earlier. Mm-hmm. It's a standing commitment, and the money comes out of the grants and contracts line of the budget.
Okay.
So that's why it's included here, to be sure that we account for it.
Thank you. Julian?
I don't know if you've already done the math, but do we know how, looking at the lines that are underneath the totals, where it was broken down last year by mm-hmm. Mental Health Board and Developmental Disabilities Board, do we know how the new applications break down that way?
If I were to consider Developmental Disability Board applications that were funded in 16 by the Mental Health Board and considered those applications, just those four applications that were awarded in 16, and had them as part of the allocation for 17, Mental Health Board applications total just shy of $4 million. I don't know if that's your question.
Yeah, I'm wondering what kind of an increase we're being requested here.
Well, we allocated $3.3 million, and we've got about just shy, about maybe $20,000 or less, uh-huh. shy of $4 million in requests to the board. And that's including those four applications that mm. were awarded contracts last year and then resubmitted this year. That does not mean that those four applications will be the ones that are awarded funds through the Mental Health Board. That's a deliberative process between the two boards. So,
okay.
But yeah. What we're looking at is about $4 million in requests before the Mental Health Board, and last year having allocated $3.3 million. So, and I don't know that we know what our amount is right at the moment in terms of what we will have available for this year's allocation.
So I'm just thinking out loud that we probably have our work cut out for us, figuring out what our priorities are and how to make this allocation and how to deal with the state and all those things are just, I'm just reminding myself by asking you about it. Thank you.
Julian, we think there's about a 2% increase in funding that's going to be available, so that's helpful.
Any other questions? Okay, we do have our work cut out for us, and it's not going to be easy. So gird your loins, friends. All right. So we'll move along then to the Executive Search Committee report. Begins on page 29. Let me tell you first a little bit about what we are doing and why we are asking for some money here to do it. I mentioned earlier that our committee has met twice, and here are some of the things we've done. And we're all working on this, but some are working a little more than others, I would say, but I won't mention who. She has developed a timeline. We have worked out a budget that you will see the results there on page 29. We're going to ask you for some money. We figure it's going to take about $7,500 to do this search because we're going to bring people in, you know, and there'll be costs involved. So we're going to split that amount, and it'll cost each board $37.50 if you approve it, and we hope that you will. Do you want to do that now, or should I talk some more? Yeah. Okay. Well, let's have a motion then. Thank you, Astrid. Thank you very much, Margaret. Any discussion?
So could we hear who's on the committee?
Of course. The executive committees of the two boards. That's Susan and me. And it's Phil Krein and
Mike.
And Mike Smith. Holy cow. I can't believe it. Also Jennifer Knapp, who was recommended, and Tom Moore, who was also recommended. So we have six people, and we are in the process of choosing a seventh person, someone who, I think, Dale, you call these people consumers. We'd like to have a consumer in the process. So that's the small committee that is doing this legwork. There will be much more to do, and we hope to involve many of you. I'll get you just a second. Many of you as we proceed, as we get things narrowed down. Astrid?
This is not part of this money thing. It's really part
another
of
issue.
The later thing. But I do believe that it's too internal. I think perhaps there should be someone from the county board and someone from the law enforcement community, because there is an awful lot of interaction.
Yes, and we do absolutely intend to involve folks like you've just mentioned and others. We intend to involve quite a few people. Right now, it's the small group to do the nuts and bolts of getting it organized.
The nuts and bolts.
Yeah.
Shrinks it down. I think you should have some outsiders that you interact with in at the nuts and bolts level.
Uh-huh.
In fact, I would nominate Gary Maxwell, who's on the liaison with disabilities and is on the county board, as someone I think should be in on the decision-making. And also someone from the sheriff's office.
Certainly. And I think there will be a lot of people involved at decision-making points, and so that by the time a decision is made, a lot of people will have had input. There's no doubt about that. We fully intend to do that.
I can't accept that. Wait a minute. If we're going to, I want some people on the committee, not just being
point of
consulted.
Order.
Susan?
Yes, on the wrong.
Point of order, we probably need to go back and make a decision about the $3,750, and then we can open it up more to a general discussion about the search. And if I could add, part of the $3,750 also will go towards advertisement, Springfield, Chicago, locally, listservs, some clerical support, and then costs associated with potentially bringing people in. So just a little more information on this mm-hmm. search mm-hmm. process. So we should see if there's any more discussion regarding the funding of the search, and if not, vote on the funding of the search.
Thank you, Susan. I think you're absolutely right. Julian?
So don't misunderstand me. I'm not opposed to the funding of the search. I just am confused about kind of the order of considering the business. So, like, typically you would have sort of a budget about what it is that you're funding. And usually it would be good to know that the committee that's asking for it is the committee that's actually going to do it, which is we seem to not have yet resolved. And further, I'm confused by this memorandum of agreement, which seems to indicate that we're being asked to approve. Now, I know we're not up to it yet, but it interacts with this, because we're being asked to approve things about the JPC, like selection of applicants, which seems to be a different composition than the composition we just heard. So I'm quite confused about what it is I'm voting for, and I don't know how to resolve that except by trying to do it in some more logical order.
Susan.
So we can always table the discussion on the funding and go back and have a general conversation about the search, and then given satisfaction with that, we can move ahead on the funding. The funding's really a small part of it. You can't have a search without some funding. If people are not comfortable voting on the funding, I would move to table the funding until we've had the discussion about the a description of the search in general. And I'd like to say that the search committee is still meeting and finalizing who the membership is. We have not finalized the membership in total.
That's right. So I
just think with the point in order, if we're going to move into broader discussion, let's table the.
You've moved to table,
mm-hmm.
And you've seconded. Thank you. Any discussion?
I guess not just about tabling. I think
it's about tabling.
Right
now.
Other discussions.
Okay.
About tabling. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. This motion is tabled. Now let's go on. Yeah.
Do you mind if I talk a little bit about the search and the JPC and what it all
means? No, I think that would be good.
Okay. So the JPC is the Joint Personnel Committee from the two boards, and those are the president and the vice president / secretary. So Deb is president of this board. Phil is president of the other board. Mike Smith is vice president / secretary. I'm vice president / secretary. So we met as a group of four to just begin the process of delineating what do we need to do in order to get the search ball rolling. And we have met twice at this point to discuss the composition of the search committee. And the discussion that we had about the composition of the search committee was that we did not want to restrict it to the JPC, which is in the intergovernmental agreement. We wanted to expand it and ensure that we had a broader representation, yet keep it to a workable number so that we could agree on the job description, where to advertise, some of the early phases of the search that would get us the applicants, and then we would expand at the point of interviewing applicants. So in our meetings, we agreed that we would add two additional members who would, at least one would represent the service sector of our community, groups who are providing services to our constituents, and we agreed to invite Jennifer Knapp. And Jennifer from Community Choices agreed to serve. We also discussed ensuring that we have some long-term history and diversity on the board, and requested that Tom Moore serve, and Tom agreed to serve. He brings a great deal of history to the board and perspectives that we value. And then we agreed that we would look for a consumer and are still in the process of discussing and interviewing consumers who would feel comfortable joining the board and being a part of the discussion and able to understand the application process. So at this current point in time, it's a 7-member board, and we plan to meet again tomorrow morning or tomorrow afternoon at 4:15 to finalize the membership of the board. So the membership of the board is where it is right now in terms of our discussion. Pause for questions. Astrid?
It seems to me that the search for the new director is a matter for the board. I think the search committee should have been determined by the board, or at least run back past the board before you started work. I think we're being cut out, and I think it's much too much of an inside thing for the four of you to sit there and decide on the whole search committee and tell us.
I don't think we have made a final decision on the search committee. So right now we're getting input from you, Astrid, saying that it should be broader.
Okay, what you have written and presented to us, incidentally, authorizes the current four people to do all of these things. That's one of the things.
To be a personnel committee, okay. That's right.
Phil, if you don't mind.
I want to make sure it's clear to everyone that there is indeed an intergovernmental agreement in force right now.
Yes.
And it is basically very similar to this one. And indeed, per this intergovernmental agreement, we've been, as a pair of boards, basically going through part four steps A, B, C to follow the agreement that is in place right now. And indeed, step C there says the JPC may elect to assume responsibility for direct management of all aspects of the search process. And per input from many board members, the JPC indeed has elected to expand to get some more input, as we've been talking about. So at this point, you know, we are absolutely following the letter and the spirit of everything, and our job today, indeed, is to come back to the boards and get them informed and get them involved in the process. So that's why you're hearing it today.
Astrid. Tom's next, I think.
Oh,
Tom.
What?
Julian. Sorry.
And Julian's next.
It says the Mental Health Board and the Developmental Disabilities Board shall develop and agree upon. And we weren't even consulted.
That's what we're doing right now.
All right. After the search has begun, after.
No, it has not begun.
All right. You've.
And we haven't finalized the committee.
We haven't even posted any ads yet.
All right. I think.
We've prepared materials.
I think we should have been. It starts with consulting us, not the JPC. And we were not consulted, and I think we should have been at every level, including the papers that you say you developed. I think that should have, those papers should be the selection criteria and job description and so on. And
yeah, we have
this
that.
Says that we do that, not the JPC.
Julian.
So, I think I agree with Astrid, but I also want to add that regardless of all that, if I understand this, I just want to not get confused about it, because as I understand the way this memorandum of agreement either is worded presently or will be worded as it's proposed, even though there's some changes, the decision makers are the JPC. That's what it says here in this memorandum. Mm-hmm. It says if they don't agree, it even goes so far as to point out what Patsy pointed out, which seemed bizarre to me when I read it, that it would just terminate the whole relationship if they couldn't agree. It seemed to me there must be some alternative to that. But it also, if we're going to follow the letter of this agreement, we would in fact, you could have other people, I'd have to interpret other people on it advising them, but them making the decision about who to put forward. Now, of course, the Mental Health Board and the Developmental Disability Board have to then, I believe, vote on it, mm-hmm. but they can only vote on the mm-hmm. candidates that are put forth,
mm-hmm.
and it reads to me like it would be those four people who would have to agree, no matter who else you add, unless we change mm-hmm. this agreement.
And if somebody gets petrified, that, we split.
I don't know what I'm arguing for, well, just
can I
okay.
clarify? Can I clarify?
If you'd like to, sure,
so
Susan.
So I think that, and I'm gonna look to Phil, because I was at the DD board meeting this morning, and there was a discussion too. I believe that what was intended, and again, I'm gonna ask Phil to clarify, the JPC becomes the expanded committee. Or it's inaccurately termed the JPC. We agreed, again, in our initial meeting of the four members of the JPC that we were not a large enough or representative enough committee, and that we needed to expand the committee for the search. And so our intention was to expand by at least
three members. We're now getting feedback that perhaps it should be more than three members. And, you know, I think that's part of what we came to you today, is to talk about the search. We have begun drafting a job description. It's not finalized. We've just, what we would like to do is agree to the composition of the committee and then have the committee move forward swiftly so that they can finalize the job description, can get it out and advertised, and provide a deadline for candidates to apply, let's say by the 1st of April, so that we would have time to go through the process of reviewing and then inviting people in for interviews. So I think the issue is agreeing on what constitutes the search committee that would be able to move forward to identify a pool of candidates.
It starts. It starts with A, the boards develop and agree upon selection criteria and job description, and you're telling me that you've already done that, and, you know.
We've drafted something, you're right.
In the interest of speed. I think, since that is reserved to the boards, at the very least, that should be presented to the board and discussed before it goes out to anyone else.
We can do that.
Yeah. Easily.
I think that's a point well made.
And the joint personnel is going to be something different. You keep saying that what's written here is not what it really is. I think that we shouldn't take any action on this until what's written is what it really is. Okay?
Good point. Elaine.
Yeah, I agree with that. As written, there are only four voting members, as far as I can see, so I think the Joint Personnel Committee has to be redefined up there, but also that number, that E, leaves you no way forward if the committee can't agree, and there are somehow an even number of people there, and they don't, so you either, you say, well, we would start over, but it doesn't say that, so you really have no way forward if there's not agreement, as this is written now.
Once you're in the intergovernmental agreement. Excuse me.
I will. Phil?
I want a couple of points, and I think, by the way, you may want to get this on the table, so we're actually discussing for that.
There's too many microphones on.
All right, thanks. I wanted to emphasize two things. Number one, that having done many of these searches in other organizations, typically you have a search committee to kind of organize the things, but then they need to seek input from many other people. And I think one of the issues that we need to understand here is that if in the end the two boards and their leadership don't have strong consensus on candidates, then we need to start over again. Or we need to separate and have different directors. And that's what this new wording is explicitly for. Basically, it says if we can't come to agreement, rather than having some exterior body do it for us or anything else, you know, we're done. We either have to start over or we have to go our separate ways. And that's exactly where this is coming from. And as Elaine says, I mean, we don't want to get to that situation. If we do, it means we have to start with a clean sheet. And that indeed is what the new wording is trying to bring out. We have to get to consensus. That's critical.
But I don't see that's...
Astrid was next. Okay.
In 4E, it says the JPC, the four people, will come, if they don't come to an agreement, which can happen if they just don't like each other, then you terminate the intergovernmental agreement, and then you don't start a new search. You don't have an intergovernmental agreement. You have to start from the beginning with a new intergovernmental agreement. I mean, this doesn't make any sense at all. And then 12 and 13 are crazy, too. I mean, we need to have something that means what it says presented to us. And it would be nice if we had the search criteria and so on presented to us as well.
Okay. I'm pretty sure we can get that done. We're meeting tomorrow afternoon. We'll talk about the issues that have been raised, and we'll see if we can't work out something that, that works better than what we seem to have now. Okay? Julian.
If I may suggest.
Sure.
I think the first thing that has to be worked out are the terms of the intergovernmental agreement. What we actually want that to look like, what it looks like. I understand what it looks like now is what it is, where it's not crossed. I understand there is one. So, but we're going to now move forward. So if we know, in order to know how we're moving forward, we better agree first on what the, our relationships are as boards. Then the next question will be, what do these two boards think about the search? How would the two boards like to structure it? I mean, I don't have any, I don't want to get misunderstood here. I have no problem with the elected officers from both groups taking leadership and so on. I just think it's advisable to proceed in a way that's very orderly in order to avoid finding ourselves in that place of dissension just when we want to hire somebody. We don't want to end up there. We want to be, I understand that's nobody's intention. I just think we need to do it in a more measured, careful fashion as we move forward. So don't jump ahead of yourself by redoing the search announcement or who's on the committee or any of that. You need to first, I think, the two boards need to agree on what our arrangement is with one another. And then we need to decide from that how we're going to proceed with the search. So that's just my advice to the leadership, but you know, that's, I don't really have anything else to say about it.
Elaine.
Just one more thing. It occurs to me as I look at this that up where the Joint Personnel Committee is defined, it's really talking about something else entirely, which is evaluating the executive director annually. And those four people, it, you know, makes sense for that. And then by the time you get to the bottom of the page, you're talking about a committee that is for another purpose. So you really got two different definitions of that JPC there, and maybe that's what needs to be straightened out.
Yeah, you can, it also is, it, if you read up at the top there, we're talking about evaluating. I believe it says the officers of the Mental Health Board, and then it says two members of the Developmental Disabilities Board. So I don't know, is that? So that would need to be, if we intended to be officers, we better say so.
The way we've done evaluations in recent past anyway, is to ask board members for their opinions. You know, we've circulated forms and all that and asked for feedback on Peter's job doing, on his efficacy. And that's what we put together then for his written evaluation.
Tom.
And trying to keep track of what's going on here, it seems to me that what Mrs. Bergstrom is saying is that rather than have this personnel committee move ahead so quickly, which I don't necessarily think that they were moving ahead in the absence of everything else, is that it should start here with the two boards, not necessarily. It feels to me like that's all that's being said, and that's still possible to do because nothing has been decided. It may seem like it, but nothing has been decided now, and so it's possible to involve both these committees in this process from the very beginning rather than somewhere in the middle.
I think our first task is to rewrite section 4 through 13 and bring it back to the board.
Well, who's been rewriting it all along?
The executive committee has been responsible.
We've been.
So So you're meeting tomorrow, so that's
we're
a good,
meeting tomorrow.
Yeah.
So we can bring it back to the board meeting in March.
Yep.
But we can send it out in advance of the board meeting so that there can be email discussion if there's something that really is creating dissent and divisiveness.
But Susan, that doesn't Tom. Include the additional board members, I mean the additional committee members that you selected, right? This is just you four. It's not that full search committee.
It's our responsibility. That's right.
Concerned about. So now we can't make a committee until we bring it back to this group.
You just got out of a meeting, didn't you?
No.
I think
the issue is, if I can just break in, is that we need to revise the intergovernmental agreement. Okay, we can do that, and we can do that within the next couple of days so that it addresses concerns that have been raised. We also would like to move forward. We have your input on the search committee, and that has been very helpful. And I guess the question is, does the board want us to come back with the entire membership of the search committee for approval before we move further along? And that would slow us down until mid-March. Phil.
May I just ask a question? Is this board willing to, for the moment, deputize that group of six that was mentioned before to get this process started and bring some of this information back to them and indeed craft a process for selecting a search committee and the other things you've asked about. If you're willing to do that, then I think we can have a very productive meeting tomorrow.
To fix it all up, and go ahead with the search, and we won't know about it till March. No, I don't think that's a very good idea.
That wasn't really what I asked.
I think what Phil is asking is, would you deputize six people instead of four, the four executive committee people, to work on this right away?
Can I make a suggestion? May I?
Yes. Yeah.
So my suggestion is that we operate under the procedures that are in force. So we have a meeting of the executive committees, which involves, I assume that the current administrator goes to this meeting or not, no?
No, the executive committee are the four members that were elected.
Okay, so let me rephrase what I'm suggesting.
He's been calling these meetings.
We need a draft of a new intergovernmental agreement.
Others.
That's what we have to start with, a draft of a new intergovernmental agreement. I thought I understood Peter to say, maybe I misunderstood him, that the executive committees have in the past kind of put that together and then got approval from the boards.
From the boards.
So what I'm suggesting is that's what you should do now. Give us a newly drafted intergovernmental agreement that says what it means and ask for the two boards to look it over and either approve it or suggest changes in it and so on. Except the whole question of a search committee, if it's addressed in this agreement, well, maybe it is, maybe it isn't, I'm not sure. But I won't know until I see what the agreement is. So
okay, I think your points are well taken.
Don't go further than that, though, because I think, at least my advice is, that at least this board wants to have some say before the beginning.
Things get
settled before the beginning, not at what seems like the beginning. So in order to avoid us fighting with each other or disagreeing with each other or about things that we really don't want to do, it would be better if beforehand we all understood it the same way. So I'm suggesting a slower approach rather than rushing forward.
Julian, I think your point is understood, and it's a good one. And Astrid?
I hate to say it, but you seem to be in a hurry, and we don't have Peter for that much longer. But, you know, you can, we can't, because of open meetings, do it by email, but we could call a separate, a special meeting, mm-hmm. just to come and look at the new intergovernmental agreement and the search committee mm-hmm. and the descriptions, all the things that we're supposed yeah. to have. And, you know, we could have one in a week or something like that, just a quick special meeting to do this.
Sure. We aren't necessarily in as big a hurry as it seems. We're acting as if we're just in a rush to take care of this. Peter is willing to stay longer as needed, if as need as may be needed. Right? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'll do whatever I can to help.
So let's take our time and do it in a way that is satisfactory to both boards. Okay? We'll do our best. Thanks, Astrid. Yes, Tom.
I hope that that answers Mrs. Bergstrom's question about we only have Peter for a certain period of time. Left. Maybe we have him longer than we think we do. Is that right?
All we have to do is ask, and Peter will stay longer.
Okay.
I know that from Peter.
Okay. Well, that's important to know. But still, in terms of tomorrow's meeting about who's supposed to reconstruct this intergovernmental agreement, it sounds to me like it's only those four people. It's not the search committee that has been constructed.
Just a point of clarification, and that is that the executive committee is defined in the current intergovernmental agreement. So those four folks are the ones that are responsible for bringing a intergovernment, if there's a change in an intergovernmental agreement, back
proposed,
to the board.
Not the proposed search committee.
No. So I guess you guys have all agreed you're going to meet tomorrow and begin that process?
Well, it seems as though our agenda is going to be a little different from what we thought it would be, and that will be fine. Phil, you're pondering. Just pondering. Okay, I thought maybe. Okay. Is that okay with everybody? We'll shift gears here and do things in a little different way and slow down and take it a step at a time, and check with both boards as we go, from the beginning, from before the beginning. How's that? So, is that okay with everybody? I don't want a motion or anything. I just want you to nod or shake or whatever. Does it seem okay, Tom?
Yeah, because it sounds like what we're saying is to respond to this person's concern.
You know, I think we thought we were doing you a favor by getting some work done that we would present to you, but...
That makes sense, but, I mean, now we know differently.
No? Okay. We can change. Yes.
I have to say one more thing, if I may. I don't want you to think that, at least from my point of view, that I had any vague notion that you were trying to be a rogue organization or run away with things or anything else. Sometimes it's easier when you haven't been involved in the center of it, as I have not been, to see that if we don't clarify all this stuff, we're going to get ourselves in a place where we could end up really disagreeing with each other at a very uncomfortable time when we don't want to be disagreeing with each other. We ought to get all that stuff cleared away first and then move ahead so we can do it well.
Point well taken. I think we all understand the discussion and what we're going to do, which is go slow and present everything to the board. And nothing will be decided without the boards, I should say. And this has been a helpful discussion. Thank you. I appreciate it. Is there anything else on this topic at this moment?
We tabled it.
Yeah, we tabled it. We tabled it, yeah. Okay. Are there any board announcements? Seeing none, it's 6 o'clock. Tom, you want to say something? Oh, okay.
Second.
Discussion? No. All in favor of adjournment? Any opposed? Okay. Thank you. It's been a very helpful meeting.
Okay.
I'm sure we just won't.